guys, Alejandro back. Let's keep it moving with another interview. And in this one, we talked to Nils Smith. Now, Nils is someone that I found early on when I started looking at the church space and who was putting out really good content. Nils was at the top of that list, putting out great content. He's a thought leader and influencer when it comes to online church, online video. You're really gonna enjoy this video as we talk about why churches need to be focusing on mobile. It's a massive topic right now. The iPhone, the smartphone right now is the new television. And so churches, please pay attention to mobile. With that said, I hope you guys enjoy this interview with Nils. Alrighty, I'm here with my boy Nils. How's it going, my friend?
It's good. Thanks for having me, man.
Man, I'm so pumped that you're here. We've been chatting for a little bit, and as mentioned, you know, previously, Nils is one of the guys, man. He's, you know, when I started looking at this space of people who are the most innovative and who are the people at the forefront of technology, you know, Nils was someone that was referred to me. Sean Cannell mentioned you several times, and other people have as well. And people speak very highly of you, man. You're up to some really cool things that we'll chat about. And but really appreciate you being here, man.
I appreciate it, man. I'm a big fan of yours and big fan of Sean's as well.
Awesome, man. Well, let's jump right into this. Nils, what is your number one advice, your number one tip for churches using social media?
Yeah, and I get this question a lot, and it's the same answer every time. And it's that social media is a ministry platform first and a marketing platform second. And I think churches too often miss it, or ministries will miss it, and they'll get on social media and they'll just start saying, come to our church, come to our event, here's what's going on. And realistically, I think it's best suited as a ministry platform. And said, let me share this message, you know, of hope with you. Let me share this word of encouragement with you. Let me ask you a question and build a relationship with you. And I think that's where churches can be most effective on the platform. It can also be a marketing platform, but I think when you see it first as a ministry platform, you're going to be far more successful.
So you work with a lot of churches. You see a lot of things. You talk to a lot of people in the space. You know, why did you come up with this idea? Like, where have you seen it gone wrong, and where have you seen it gone right?
You know, I remember when I first started at Community Bible Church, when we were launching online church, I started our Facebook page, and I started posting, come to onlinechurch.com, come to our site, and nobody came. And then I started just posting.
It's because of you.
It was because of my own mistakes. And I think I posted a Bible verse from the sermon, and I saw, man, we got 30 likes on that. You know, and then I posted a quote, and then it's like, we got 10 comments on that, and I saw people engaging with it. And then when I posted, come join us at onlinechurch.com, I had a relationship built with them. Then we had people that came to our site. And so they began listening to my marketing messages after I first was building a relationship with them through doing ministry. And so it was kind of an accidental learning, but we just kept feeding that. And so the more we did ministry on Facebook, the more effective we were at our ROI at that time, which was getting people to attend onlinechurch.com. And then we found the more we just invested in that relationship there, that our goal wasn't even just to get them to onlinechurch.com. It was to build a relationship right there on our Facebook page, and we saw organic viral growth tremendous just through that intentionality.
That's awesome, man. So I think there's a lot of churches that go like, well, that's great, you know, how much of that, those quotes, how much of those images, how much of those tweets, how much of those posts, of those value add or relationship building posts do you post and tweet out before you start asking?
Yeah, I think you have to define your own balance there. You know, I generally say that there's kind of a four-part strategy for churches when it comes to your balance, social media. I think you have to have a balance between inspiration, information, conversation, and celebration. And I think it's really the tension primarily between information and inspiration. And so information is your church announcements or your ministry news and updates. But the inspiration is the other side of that balance. That's the Bible. The sermon quotes and the things that are really going to inspire your congregation. I think you then push in some conversational posts, ask some questions, build relationships through that, and you've got to celebrate and tell, share stories of what's going on. But it's really managing that tension of inspiration to information. I believe it should be 75% inspiration to 25% information.
But I think it really does depend, and I think you've got to find your balance. Just I would always lean more heavily on inspiration than information.
No, that's good, man. Who are some of your favorite churches that, or maybe churches that you've worked with that are kind of focusing on that 75% inspiration and then, you know, 25% informational, and then, yeah.
Yeah, that's great. So there's a couple, and they're kind of the big ones that a lot of people know of. I think Saddleback Church does an incredible job. If you watch their social media, and they've got an incredible social media manager there. And North Point Church on the other coast also does a great job. One of the things North Point does so well is they're very heavily focused on the conversation and their responsiveness to those comments. So they're looking to create a conversation, and they're engaging heavily on those. So those two churches are probably the two churches that I watch the most when it comes to social media.
That's awesome. And you talk about marketing, you know, social media is a marketing term second, or marketing tool second. So this, you know, this word, I think a lot of churches, and I've talked to a lot of pastors, they get really nervous when you start talking about things like, you know, treat church like a business, or, you know, we talked about, you know, marketing the gospel, are those bad words, and like, what advice would you give to churches that we talked even previously to hit and record about, you know, excellence in the church? And so, yeah. You know, some of your ideas and thoughts around marketing and business in those terms and execution?
Yeah, you know, and I come from a business background in that I was a business major in college. So I took marketing class, and I took management class, and I took accounting class.
Yeah.
And I think realistically, when it comes to ministry, it's a balance of the two. I think you have a church or a ministry has their ministry function, and then I think they have their business function. And ministry should always trump, you know, the business side of things. That's your core focus. And you can be well organized, but without effective ministry, you're going to be lost. But I think the same thing, if you have a great ministry, yet you don't have a strong business function, you're also, you know, going to be lost. Your lights won't be turned on because your operations weren't in place to have the power on, to have systems in place, to have everything running. And I think realistically, if you don't pay your bills and you don't have a good accounting system, your ministry won't function. You know, you need those business functions to succeed as a ministry. And marketing is another business function. Or, you know, we can use the term operation, and we can use the term communication if it makes it sound better. But at the end of the day, it's marketing. It's communication, both internally and externally. And your church or your ministry needs a strong business function in that way to communicate with your congregation, and then also to communicate with your community that you want to become a part of your congregation. And so I think marketing is an essential function of every church in one way or another. How you perceive it, you know, is up to you, but it's something that we all have to do.
Yeah, that's super interesting. Why do you think churches, why do you think they're so afraid of those words, or they don't want those words tossed around?
You know, I think because too often business can trump ministry. So you can be so consumed in marketing, or you can That's be good. So consumed in your accounting or finances and doing certain things or getting out of debt. And those things are valuable. But at the end of the day, we should be obsessed with ministry, you know, and we should be intentional to make sure we have a solid infrastructure and that we're functioning with excellence. But we're called to do ministry, you know, when it comes to ministries, and that's our function. You know, and if you're even looking at it from business terms, that's your product. And if you don't have an excellent product, it doesn't matter how good your business systems are in any business. And I think the church is the same way, that you need to be excellent at ministry, and you need to be focused in that way. And you just basically build this infrastructure so that you don't have to worry about those things, so that you really are focusing on having the most excellent ministry systems, and you're building relationships, and you're doing what God's called you to do. And so I think ministry comes first in everything, especially social media, or maybe just as well as social media. It doesn't change. You know, we're called to do ministry, but we've got to do marketing too, and we've got to have effective business and infrastructure around us.
No, that's awesome. And so what do you think, what platforms do you feel, you know, are best suitable for, you know, kind of that inspiration first mentality?
Yeah, you know, I think 98% of churches need to start with Facebook. Facebook is where the widest audience is. It's where the most engaged audience is. The stats on how many people, and whatever stat I would use today, by the time this airs, is going to be even more. You know, I mean, Facebook just continues to grow, and it's, you know, and you see a lot of people going to Snapchat and Instagram and some other platforms, but Facebook continues to grow at such a rate. The time on site, really the time on app, is growing so tremendously that I feel like learning how to engage on Facebook really prepares you as you even think about going to a platform. And so Facebook is where I encourage every ministry to get started. Now, if you're in a niche ministry where you're targeting just college students or teenagers, I get maybe being fully focused on Snapchat or Instagram. But I would say, for the most part, Facebook is the platform to really engage and build content that fits that platform well. And then with that, I say, I think mobile with Facebook. I mean, the trend around Facebook has really gone mobile. And so creating content that just engages well on somebody's mobile device. And so whether that's a short video that captures people's attention through their autoplay functionality now, or it's an image, but using content that's really engaging on that mobile platform is key.
Yeah, Facebook's by far, for a church, by far my favorite, hands down. Like, there's nothing even close. And like you said, it's like, you know, MySpace, you know, for those that remember MySpace, like it came and Facebook took over. And I think a lot of people thought the trend would be, okay, well, Instagram is going to take over Facebook. Well, Facebook bought Instagram. And Snapchat, like, is going to take over Instagram. And then now they came out with Instagram Stories. But I feel like Facebook's, like, building this layer on top of the internet, which, like, it's kind of like our hub or our home. When we get into the internet, things like the Messenger, like, they did have the email. So I think you're 100% right. Facebook is definitely the place with you know, widest audience. But man, you know, can you talk a little bit about Facebook ads? I mean, this is the game changer in my opinion.
Yeah. You know, I think Facebook has built an incredible business model around their advertising platform. And so it's, you know, many people say it's a pay-to-play system. And realistically, while you can build an audience still for free, you know, Nick Vujicic is a client. We've never run ads, and he's got 8 million Facebook fans.
Wow.
But that's the exception. You know, that's not the norm. And so there's viral content that gets out there and grows. And Facebook doesn't require you to run ads. But it's my opinion and my experience that running ads just speeds up the process. So if you don't have good content and you're not going to engage anyway, don't waste your money on ads. But if you have good content and you want people to engage and get to know your church or your ministry, running ads only speeds up that process. So it helps you grow faster. It helps you reach more. And so not every post is the most important post, but when you do have very important posts, put $10 behind it and boost that post, promote that post so that more people will see that content that's most important to you and to your community. And use page like ads to grow your audience, you know, and create greater awareness in your community. It's just so inexpensive. And I think churches historically have had an advertising budget. You know, they would pay $200 a month to be in the Yellow Pages or $100 a month to be in the newspaper. And we still pay $50 a month for Constant Contact or MailChimp. And so I think you have some things you have to pay for. And Facebook, while you don't have to pay for it, it's going to be the ROI on Facebook is far greater than any other investment I make in any other tool that I use, any other technology that I use. Facebook ads, I just think it's one of the most incredible evangelistic tools that the church has at its fingertips today.
Man, we could talk about Facebook forever, right? I mean, Facebook is definitely, I mean, you can literally target, let's say I'm starting a church and my worship pastor's kind of like Lincoln Brewster, or maybe they're kind of like Hillsong United. I can literally target everyone, and we want to target families, so I can target everyone between the ages of young families, 25 to 34, that like Hillsong or Lincoln Brewster, and live within a 5-mile radius. And what I tell people is like, hey, $5 a day, like $300 a month, is not a lot. Like you said, you know, not just Yellow Pages, but what about all the print for Easter?
Yes,
and it's like, you know, they're spending some churches $5,000 to $10,000, and that's even a 200-300 member church that's spending that kind of money. So it's inexpensive. I wanna kind of think through, like, a lot of people might see the Nick, you know, Vujicic page, and they may go like, oh, that's just him. But it's all it was is a compelling story, and I think churches have the most compelling story. And so, were there any learnings working with him? Were there any learnings of how you guys? Well, I guess what were the biggest learnings from working with him?
Yeah, you know, yeah, that's a great question. I think the biggest learning that I got that I would really encourage pastors is the content that was more personal and less polished is the content that engaged the most. And so when we'd pull out an iPhone and shoot a video with Nick, it would get 10 times the engagement than when we have a video team, you know, set up a studio and record a video with him speaking to the camera. Now, that one looked great and it was very professional.
Yeah.
But the one with the iPhone was so personal and people were more intrigued by it on Facebook. And so it was that content. It was that raw content. Same thing with pictures. When we had iPhone picture, that was at an event or behind the scenes in comparison to the photographer posting pictures, it got, you know, 2 to 3 times as much engagement. And so I think people just love the rawness and personal connection. Yeah. Now Nick is a public personality. Yeah. And so there is an appeal to behind the scenes type of content and footage. But I believe that even in a church of 200 to 300, there's a behind the scenes feeling that people often won't have with their pastor of, you know what, their pastor just worked out and he got a word while he was working out. You don't have to wait till Sunday to share that word with your congregation. So pull out your iPhone, shoot a little selfie video. And you can minister your congregation right there in that moment. And they feel personally connected. You know, they know you just worked out. They know this is what you're like off the platform on Sunday. And I think people just naturally feel connected to raw authenticity. Now, quality, I don't want to belittle quality in content. And so I think there is significance. And the more you create content, the higher the quality will become. Right. But I do want to just speak to the more personal you become. And you just don't need to wait until you have a perfect solution to start engaging, especially with video.
No, I think you're 100% right. And I think what social media has done is level the playing field, especially for that 200 to 400 member church that maybe don't have the resources. And maybe they're not. I think a lot of churches... they don't post because they don't have, you know, a $2,000 camera, or they don't have that Canon camera that they can, you know, take quality photos of the pastor preaching or whatever. But what you're saying is like, you know, definitely think about quality and try to, you know, improve, but just start.
Exactly.
So you hit something, and I think it's really, really important. You said when you talked about Facebook, you talked about thinking about the app and thinking about mobile. How big is mobile, and why should, you know, churches pay attention to mobile?
Yeah, I mean, we've seen over the last 3 to 5 years, everything has shifted mobile, you know, and so I don't off the top of my head know the stats, but it's well beyond 50% of people engaging with Facebook posts are engaging with their mobile devices. You know, I think Twitter is something like 85%. Instagram is 100%. Yeah. Snapchat is 100%.
Yeah.
I mean, you just see a complete shift to mobile. And I think that's both with content created and content engaged with. And so people have a computer connected to their bodies now. And it's, I think it's just a natural part of how people are engaging, connecting with each other. So I don't think it can be, you know, I just don't think you can think less, or you just need to be thinking mobile in everything you're doing, from the content you're creating to the, you know, how you're connecting with people. And I think knowing that is that people's attention spans are shorter on mobile.
Yep.
And so if you're writing a text post, you know, think shorter, you know, think like Twitter. Or if you're making a video, people aren't going to watch a 30 not likely to watch a 30-minute video on mobile. I would keep it, you know, between 45 to 90 seconds.
Yeah.
And so creating content that's very consumable for mobile and being intentional with that is very important. And then I think, too, when you're creating content, especially video, and you know, so much is a video, and our friend Sean is the expert of this area. I just watch every single thing he puts out.
And so, but
as you think about how can you capture good video, and even putting something like a lens on your iPhone, or put, you know, connecting a microphone to it, you can create really great content with your mobile, from your mobile, uploading it right there to Facebook. You know, I'm a part of a company called Splice, and so Splice created a mobile video editor. And I mean, you can really edit a video in a professional way right there in your iPhone. So there's just so much you can do now with mobile, creating with mobile, engaging with mobile. And I just think that we're living in a mobile world now.
Yeah, I think the numbers are staggering. I saw a couple of years ago, Mark Zuckerberg, I think it was right before or right after they bought Instagram.
Right.
And he said if he would have started Facebook today, he would have built it 100%. 100% wow. mobile. So you're 100% right. It's like those snippets of really short, you know, quick content. I loved your idea. I loved your idea of a pastor working out and then, you know, jumping in the car and doing Facebook Live. Like, what do you think about Facebook Live and some of the churches that you chat with and people you chat with about Facebook Live?
Yeah, you know, it's a fast growing trend that is interesting. There's a few levels to Facebook Live. Periscope was interesting, and it's been interesting to see how it, you know, Facebook just seemed to do it better. And I think the same thing with Instagram Stories is going to be interesting with Snapchat. But I think obviously jumping on that trend sooner rather than later is interesting. I think it's the Mevo camera, the Movi. I think they've changed their name at some points. I don't know which one it is. Yeah. But I think you're able to create higher quality content through Facebook Live. I think what's interesting to me about Facebook Live, though, still is that you see, you know, and I just put a number to this, but it seems about 10 times the engagement or views after the video is live than when it's live. Mm-hmm. And so I think people put too much maybe on the actual concept of live video. I almost feel like what Facebook is wanting people to do, though, and just how their algorithm is built, is just to stop overthinking video and just get it up there. So with Facebook Live, you can't edit it afterwards. It's just up. And so I think in some ways it's just like, you know what, just record it and put it up and it's live. And you can be interactive, you know, and I'm going to keep going back to Sean. And what he's doing with Facebook Live from an interactive standpoint is the best I've seen of anybody that's really utilizing that social engagement function of Facebook Live. We saw more of that with Periscope. Yeah. It's just a trend. You know, I think it's one of those trends.
What do you like that Sean's doing specifically?
Because he's answering questions. So most people are doing Facebook Live and they're just watching. They're just recording basically a video without any kind of interaction, and then they're stopping it, and it's going to the Facebook page. And Facebook's comments are a little delayed on Facebook Live right now. I'm sure they're going to improve that quality, but it's harder to do the live Q&A. Sean, though, is being patient, you know, just his format, in that he's waiting for questions and then responding, and so you do get that live engagement with it. I think that's going to be a great opportunity for pastors to do live Q&A, so I can see, let's debrief the sermon on Monday. You know, tell me what you thought. Or I'm working on the sermon for this Sunday. Let's help me work through this. I'm going to do this live.
I love that. That's
so good. There's just so many possibilities. And sometimes it's just like we're just in this life together. So I think Facebook Live is almost just breaking up our day-to-day, our online lives and our physical lives. And it's almost becoming like a reality experience together. But you feel like you're a part of what somebody else is doing in that moment. And so it's interesting. I think it feels strange, but I think it's one of those opportunities that jump in on it and see.
It is so weird. It is so weird. But, you know, I think about, like, imagine the folks that, like, grew up in the late 1800s and were riding horses. And then, like, someone's, like, you know, 15, 20 years later, they're riding a car. Like, that shift is so different. You know, as we see, like, I grew up, you know, I'm 35 now and almost 36. And, you know, I grew up, my grandmother brought a Nintendo for $800. And I kind of grew up with that progression. I'm a cusper when it comes to millennials. But these millennials now, you know, who the purchasing power that they have and are bringing to the church is so they're thinking mobile. They're thinking social media. And so we really, you know, the way to build relationships with them is through, you know, this thing right here. And I love, we'll link up Sean Cannell. He's going to be one of the speakers here at the summit, as well as the Mevo, which that thing is so, so fascinating. Yep. And so, but it gets back to your point of, like, social media as a ministry tool first to build those relationships, inspire people, tell those stories. And, you know, I think, you know, in the next 3 to 5 years, I mean, it's probably going to be weirder stuff then, right? but I love that idea of, like, hey, you know, it's Tuesday morning. You know, I just want to turn this thing on. And here's what I'm thinking about speaking about Sunday. And, you know, what are your thoughts? What are your experiences? And leverage kind of crowdsource stories that you can talk about now on Sunday. And then Sunday or Sunday night or Monday morning, like, do a Facebook Live 2 to 3 minute recap of a recap video. And I don't know. And then I think what happens is sometimes you don't even need to ask to invite. It's like people kind of are like, I got to be there. And so when you ask, it's just very kind of passive and nonchalant. Like, hey, we'd love to have you. And but you've gotten so much value from the things that you're talking about, like, just, you know, live and behind, you know, the behind the scenes type stuff. Like, I don't know. I think it's a really, really fascinating time right now for the church. I think we live in the greatest time ever, man. Like, especially for the church, for the gospel. Man, what the last two questions I have for you? What is some encouraging words? You got folks that maybe you know volunteer. They work at a church. They're a pastor, just started a church, and they do the graphics. They do the social media. They do the preaching on Sunday. You probably know a lot. I got some friends as well.
Yeah.
You know what encouragement would you have when it comes to social media and using it as a ministry tool first to build those relationships, inspire people?
Yeah, that's a great question. My dad is a pastor at a Methodist church in Houston, about 100 people, and he's by himself. You know, I think he can feel like, man, how can I make time for social media? And so I know that world he's living in on a week to week basis. And here's my encouragement: as you look at social media as a ministry platform, I believe the best content that you have for social media comes out of your sermon. You know, I believe that the pulpit drives the church, and so as you're preparing a weekly sermon at your church, or your pastor is preparing a sermon, he's creating content that is gold for social media. You know, that sermon should include scripture passages. That sermon should include, you know, points that naturally will transfer to social media. You can record, you know, whether you just record him afterwards with the pastor on your phone, or you record the services, you can create clips and video clips that do great on social media. You can ask questions around that sermon, or ask questions about the upcoming sermon. Use the pulpit, use the sermon to drive your social media strategy from a ministry perspective. And so as you think about, I don't even know what to say, or where do I have time with this? Your pastor is already, if you are the pastor, you're already creating your content. It's just a matter of adapting that content to social media. And the more you do it, the better you're going to get, and the more efficient you're going to become in that. So social media doesn't need to become a burden. It can really just become an asset to further the work you're already doing.
Wow, that's awesome, man. I was ready for the altar call to raise my hand. That was good, man. And then my last question for you, man, what is your favorite social media platform, your personal favorite, and why?
Yeah, so Twitter has been my favorite for many years. I love the simplicity of it. That's where I get my news. I love just the quick back and I'm a direct to the point, you know, and communicating back and forth. So I love that we're limited in our characters, even though that will likely change soon. And so I've loved Twitter for many years, and still it's my favorite one to spend time on when I'm just kind of killing time.
That's awesome, man. And then where can folks find you and the work you're up? What are you up to, and how can people connect with you?
Yeah, so you can find me on my blog, neilsmith.com, and at neilsmith on Twitter. And so my work, I work at Dunham & Company in Dallas, Texas. I'm the vice president of social media and innovation there. And so you can go to dunhamandcompany.com to get more information about my company.
Awesome, man. Well, dude, appreciate you again. Thank you for taking time out of your schedule, dude. Like, tons of value, really, really good, really inspiring stuff. So thanks again, Niels.
Thanks, man.